This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Thank you for listening. This is episode 151 of the IT and the D Show. This is 4th of July, short and sweet edition. We have a full studio of all of our favorite guests. We have Jeremiah Dr. Hook in from Daily Detroit, Billy Strotter from Social Coop Media, and Kari Frazier from DetroitIsDifferent.com. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Happy Independence Day. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It was worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
I dig you, IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
Bob loves it in the can.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
That's why I like it in the can.
Which kind of scares the shit out of me.
Shut up, Barry.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT in the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
We got screwed at the same time. Yeah.
Really? Should we talk about this?
We tag team it. Should I keep going or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D. Come.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Hopefully you'll be able to hear the show with all this freedom going on. This is the 4th of July edition of the number one ranked technology podcast on SoundCloud this week. This is the one and only IT in the D show. We are broadcasting.
I forgot to put Mark Straub in there. Damn.
Oh, damn. I get to do it now. So this is, we are broadcasting live here at Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Captain Soundboard Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Find everything you need to know about us at itinthed.com. And do us a favor, mark your calendars. July 21st, third Thursday at 5 o'clock until question mark. We're going to be at the Firebird Tavern in Greektown for one of our casual, what started it all, one of our casual meetups. Nothing but IT folks, good conversation, no covers, no speakers. And then back by popular demand, August 4th, Thursday, we are going to be at Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan for our second podcaster meetup.
Wait, there are podcasters in this area?
We had almost 85 people at the last one. It was a
Like 70% of them, we had no idea who the hell they were. That was the best part.
But there are no networks for them to be on.
They aren't.
At all.
As it is a meetup, would you have to bring a meat stick? Do you have to bring a steak? Hamburger?
No, we bring the beer.
M-E-E-T.
Maybe a
meatloaf.
Yeah, meatloaf.
We're like the Pied Piper. Just follow the smell of falling down beer, and then you will be here, and we can play video games. Look over there. Video games for free. Hey, we got three awesome guests. We figure we do the 4th of July episode in style, so we brought back our favorites. We got Dr. Hook Jeremiah here from the Daily Detroit. Billy Strotter's in the house with a brand new award you just got. We're so proud of you from Social Coop Media.
I seriously,
where's that bell?
Oh wow,
we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about that in a bit. And then last but not least, we got Kari Frazier in the house from Detroit Is Different, our photographer and filmographer extraordinaire, and puts an awesome website together. We'll be talking about that. But hey, before we get jumping in, this episode of the IT and the D Show is brought to you by Quip. It's funny. I've been seeing sponsored ads on Facebook for Quip for like 3-4 months now, and I started messing around with it. Then all of a sudden I saw that they wanted to sponsor the show, and I was all giddy for it. It's almost like Atlassian, but for the business side, for like the me stuff, because you get Atlassian, Nuri, I get Quip. Right, because I'm drowning in email, and we're sending Excel docs back and forth, and everything's all over the place, and you got to put resave everything in version 2, version 3. Who edited it? Don't know. Quip is, the way we work today is practically almost dumb with this new technology coming out. We're drowning in email, we're interrupted by meetings, and nothing's getting done. And stop asking yourself, what's that file? Whose decision was this to change this? Quit working dumb. It's not your fault. It's the tools you use. Work smart with Quip. You can communicate with as little email as possible, which is a godsend. Each living document created in Quip has built-in chat functions so you can communicate with your team real time about the content being created. No more email chains, no more sharing links, no more sharing attachments via email. Manage your entire team's shared folders, notifications. Also integrates with Slack, which is phenomenal because, how many tools can you need, right? I want everything to integrate. I want everything to talk. Over 1 million users today are using Quip. Thousands of team have adopted their living documents over email, files, and superfluous chat. Did I say that right?
Superfluous?
Yes.
Yes.
Companies like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, CNN all use Quip, and you can try it yourself. You can get 6 months of a Quip team plan for free. Do us a favor. Go to Quip, QUIP.com/IT in the D. That's Quip.com/IT in the D for free 6 month team plan. How cool is that?
Well, it's great. I think of some of the teams that I work with that are from my volunteer stuff that I do, and we're mailing Microsoft Word docs back and forth with the track changes on, right? And that's just stupid for an organization of like all those people to just send stuff back and forth with
and then accept changes and then wait, what's that? And then add note and then.
Right.
Oh,
then you
got to
save in your folders. I mean, think about the emails, Dave. You and I in the chains we have in Gmail.
Oh yeah, V2, V3, V12, final V2, final V3,
dash NG,
dash Dave edit, dash Bob edit.
Dave, find that email. Just look up Waltenspiel in Gmail and see what happens.
Yeah, of the 80,000 Gmail emails.
Breaks. Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So I've had a fun day today. I found out what it's like to live in the Flintstone ages. I don't have a phone.
What?
Yeah. Did you drop in the toilet?
No. I lit off fireworks like a good American boy last night.
America.
And I plugged in my phone, and I woke up today, and it's a black screen, blue LED. So like a good IT boy, I get my tablet out, and I Google black screen, blue LED. Right? None of the buttons are working. And then it has all – basically on a Samsung phone, you got to hold power down – or volume down, power, home button, and that'll reset it to this.
Into like the Google recovery mode.
Yeah, recovery mode. Yeah. So I tried every one of those, nothing. I went to the Verizon store, nothing. And the beautiful thing of having a corporate phone is Verizon won't even talk to you.
What?
So I had to call TAC. And then the only way I could get a phone.
You had
phone,
to call Cisco TAC.
I had to call Cisco TAC.
Oh, Jesus.
And then they had to mail me a phone.
They put you on hold and you got to hear the really cool hold music.
Yeah. So that then basically it was like, hey, we can send you one of these refurbished ones. So you want a Samsung S5, or do you want to just pay retail and get a new one because it's out of warranty? I'm like, oh yay! So now I've sat all day, free of the nothing.
And how do you feel? How do you feel without that? Is it freeing?
He's got a bit of a twitch.
No, it's okay. I think the only thing I missed was. Like, but I played my games on my tablet, so I'm okay with that.
I'm willing to bet your entire drive here, you were a giant ball of stress because I have never seen
look
you.
At my phone.
I have never seen you driving without one hand on the wheel, one hand with
actually,
the phone.
I bet you drove safely and the speed limit all the way.
I don't
here.
Even know where my phone is right now. I think I lost it. That's how where I don't.
And I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying. And then you started drinking again 2 days ago.
I did.
Coincidence?
I did. I made it 7 weeks.
Pretty impressive, actually.
You did. That's impressive. Did.
That's good. No, that's,
yeah, it's the shortest I've made it ever since I've tried to do this.
It's legit.
What was your drink back?
We were on the pontoon boat in the lake, and my first one, I went for a cider. And then I went for Labatt.
You're going to ease yourself in.
And then I went for the whiskey.
It was a cider.
It was a drink back.
Yeah, does it even really count?
I don't know if that counts. Cider.
Then I got into the Labatt, and then I got into the whiskey, and then I got into all
and then he shot me a picture of his wife in a bikini top holding a Labatt, so that was...
Between
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Speaking
he
of
was like, announcing, I'm back, and I was like, I hope those are both?
Yeah.
Or I don't? I don't know how to feel about that.
Sister boobs, ew.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about that.
Speaking of bikinis.
It is... The 75th anniversary of the debut of the bikini en France.
Is she still wearing that bikini today?
God, I wore it then.
I'm just saying. It's like the George Carlin thing for Miss USA. You have to keep coming back until you win. You know? I just want world peace.
Yeah, but yeah, so 75 years ago, yes, the French revolutionized all of the beaches all across the world.
Is there a picture of, like, the first lady in a bikini by chance?
There was in the article I shot across, I thought. So I never thought I would actually say this, but thank you, France.
For fries and the bikini.
That's right. Dressing, fries, bread. Toast, and bikini.
That company they can keep mustard. Their Perrier. It's gross. Oh. I'll drink my Schweppes tonic. You know who's having a crappy week? And I'm kind of glad I'm not on their side.
The Clintons?
Them too, which is our friends at Apple. They are being dicks this week.
Let's be honest. By and large, the people at Apple are always being dicks.
Fine.
It just got called out in the news this week.
Fine, for once.
What happened?
Well, first thing is they're issuing a new
patent. No, they got a patent.
That you can no longer – and I don't know how this is
it
enforced.
It blocks the camera on your cell phone.
At concerts.
What? Wait. So the fat Axl Rose may have never happened if Apple had gotten this fat?
Exactly.
Well, no. I can actually see the concert because there's not 4,200 girls in front of me with their phone over their head.
Oh.
Bad
true
story. Axl.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Not a bad thing, but we've talked about like God, a year ago. We talked about when Dave Chappelle went on tour and had the cell phone signal inhibitors planted all throughout the building that he was in because he didn't want people on their phones. He wanted them paying attention to the show and yada, yada, yada.
I think it's inevitable. It is so ingrained in concert culture now that at least a couple times.
I want to enjoy the concert, but first let me take a Snapchat.
Exactly. Oh, it's true.
There was so much. Don't ask me how, but I was at the Beyonce concert, and the Snapchat game was intense between DJ Khaled and Beyonce and everybody. Everybody in every row was Snapchatting. It was ridiculous. All at the same time.
And yet none of them have any memory of being there because they were looking through the little viewfinder on their phone the entire time.
Don't you find yourself, though? I don't know what it is about the electronic. It's like the four-year-old kid in all of us. If somebody's holding up like an iPad.
I want to slap it out of their hands.
You look at the picture on the iPad. Like I find myself watching that.
I don't.
Then I kind of like blah, 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 and watch.
No, I want to slap it out of their hands.
Well, that too. If they're in front of me, but if it's not in my viewpoint, I'll like you're like gravitated towards it. It's kind of a dumb thing. And then the last thing they're doing, which is stupid, there's 30 million guys on the YouTubes, like fix it Ralph or whatever.
Right.
Like, hey, something's broke. What do? Go to YouTube, right? I've taught that to my kids. If you don't know how to do something, go on YouTube. There's 7,200 tutorials on how to do everything.
I have learned everything I need to know about home maintenance from YouTube videos. Plumbing, electrical. Mechanical, yeah. Everything from YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So what's Apple doing with that?
So they are suing basically a singled out YouTuber that does these videos for fixing Apple product.
Bullshit.
Because they want it taken to their store. I don't have all the details
of
it.
So if my battery goes bad and I want to replace it myself, and this guy is basically teaching me how to, I don't know, replace like the screen or the battery or things like that, right?
He's not rooting the phone. He's not like telling you. It's your basic guy. It's like Tom Lawrence does these.
Well,
you know?
And it's like the, you know, that we, again, we've talked about this, where the OEMs, the car manufacturers, are trying to keep mechanics from being allowed to work on your car.
Yeah, there's like an end user license agreement for your car anymore.
Like,
right?
you can't take your car to like Joe the mechanic down the street anymore. You have to return to the dealership, and yet
if I had to take my Audi into Audi each time it broke, I'd be poor.
So they're calling this like an attack on free speech, which I think is kind of a, and like again, the guy's sitting in a lab.
You buy a piece of technology.
And then, yours, right?
And then you're not allowed to do what you want to do with it.
So like, apparently, see, here's where Apple gets pissed off. His most recent video, Why I Don't Use Apple Products, has almost 1 million views, which is probably because he's saying, hey, this is – their products are broke. Here's why. Don't use them. And so now they're suing him for God knows whatever. And it's been like a whole thing on freezing. He could say whatever the hell he wants on YouTube.
Especially if it's true, right?
I mean, well, yeah, you can't make up garbage.
And the funny part about this is that nobody would know anything about this guy unless he had gotten sued. Like, I've never heard of this guy before. But now I'm going to go subscribe and like the whole thing, because like nobody would have noticed if you hadn't raised hell about it.
Right, exactly. Now you just brought attention to him, and now the masses are going to subscribe to him.
Totally.
Especially, you know, because of 4th of July, the theme of today is freedom. Right, mm-hmm. You better not take away me to be able to bitch about. Just like the
thing about freedom and stuff.
Can you imagine
America?
What happens if Tellway? Oh no, because we're talking good about Tellway. What happens if those 1-star Yelp reviewers sue us for the worst meatball sandwich ever podcast?
Bring it.
Exactly.
Bring all of it.
Well, it's happening, right?
That people are talking about America the country or America the beer.
I've got to get some of those.
So they cannot. I don't understand how a company that's owned by a foreign conglomerate can now sell a beer
country.
As America.
Yes.
It's a soft takeover.
Doesn't make sense. So I want to touch on this because this story was late breaking, and it was shared. It's on Ask a Manager, the website, and this story I think is the epitome of just shitty managers 101. Like I got it. So it's a reader.
It's not the person that's fired the person on the way to their hospital because they couldn't. They had toxic shock from being allergic to nuts. It's not this one.
Right? No. Okay. No. So this person says, I manage a team and part of their job is to provide customer support over the phone. Yada, yada, new product launch, expecting to provide service outside normal hours. One employee asked to come in 2 hours after the start time due to her college graduation ceremony being that same day. She was taking night classes to earn her degree. Now, I was unable to grant her request because she was the employee with the lowest seniority. We needed coverage. I said if she could find someone to replace her for those 2 hours, blah, 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 life would be good. She couldn't find anybody. The part that I love about this, though, I did intervene and switch one person's end time because they had concert tickets that they had already paid for. But this was a special circumstance because there was cost involved. Like, there's no cost involved in getting your effing college degree, taking classes at night, but concert tickets, hell yeah, let him go. So she said, I told this team member she couldn't start 2 hours later. She was going to have to skip the ceremony. An hour later, she handed me her work ID and a list of all the times she'd worked late, come in early, worked overtime for each and every one of her coworkers, and quit on the spot. I'm a bit upset because she was my best employee by far. Her work was excellent. She never missed a day of work in the 6 years she worked here, and she was my go-to person for work weekends and holidays. Even though she doesn't work here longer, I want to reach out and tell her that quitting without notice because she didn't get her way isn't exactly professional.
Wow.
I would punch that woman.
You, sir or madam, are a shitty manager.
The person who should
be
fired is whoever made that person a manager.
Yes.
Like, you manage people. You manage people. I mean, you keep those employees, especially someone who's gone out of their way on their own time after hours to earn their degree at night. Dude, for all you know, she's got family coming in from out of town. I mean, she could be the first person in her family graduating from college. It could be a big freaking deal. Jesus.
Her education. Concert tickets.
But concert tickets.
Her education probably costs like 10,000 concert tickets.
It was even worse. The girl used to be raised in foster homes, was homeless, has no living family, yet somehow clawed her way through college on her own. I think that was the part that got me the most.
Yeah.
But concert tickets. Never mind. It was Beyonce with DJ Khaled.
So, nice. So did you hear?
All you do is win. All you do
so
is
did you
win.
Hear Tesla? We finally got one. We finally got someone that died on autopilot.
Oh, it's bound to happen. Car.
But this is the interesting one. Did you hear how it happened?
No, shoot.
So this guy gets in his Tesla, puts it on autopilot, and drops in a Harry Potter movie and kicks back and relaxes and watches God. Harry Potter.
And winds up in a container headed for China?
No. So what happens was a trailer, a semi-truck ran the red, and it was the same color as the sky, so the Tesla autopilot couldn't see it. And so literally the Tesla did a Smokey and the Bandit and went underneath, basically chopped the roof off of the Tesla and killing the guy instantly.
Now, one second. Why did the ambulance say that he was watching Harry Potter?
Because the movie was still playing. In his wrecked car, the movie was still playing on the screen.
Whatever happened to the good old days?
It came out. The story came out afterwards as an update. I don't know.
Hey, better than the guy a couple months ago that slammed into the overpass watching porn and jerking it.
I mean, okay, that was another one where it's like, come on, ambulance. At least say he had a stroke.
Well, that's right. How was it? Well, it's like I loved the story that, and not I love, but so the guy that drove into the DTE gas station, like a natural gas station in what was it, Melvindale?
Oh yeah, yeah,
And it happened
made
at two.
Made a big kaboom.
Yeah, the earth shattering kaboom. at 2:30 in the morning, and the first story was alcohol may have been a factor.
No shit, Jim. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. What about that car that ended up like on its side in Shelby Township last week, earlier this week? This car like jumped off the embankment. Like, just it's one of those cases where it's just like, you know, when cars end up in somebody's living room, it just happens every once in a while. Welcome to Detroit. But like alcohol.
So there's been two stories came out that kind of weird in terms of internet security, in terms of how the internet's going to be viewed in the future. One came out is that a court ruled that the home computers connected to the internet aren't private.
There's no expectation of privacy,
right?
If your home computer is connected to the internet,
even if you use Tor, which Tor is like a service meant to intentionally obfuscate your IP address,
right,
and go after things in the dark net. But apparently, that hackers are so good that it doesn't matter anymore, and this whole case is going to be used by the government because basically the story was there was a child porn ring, which is shitty, right?
So yeah,
but the FBI was using more or less spyware against people who were visiting that site. And just like everybody, right? So people without a warrant. And so the folks were arguing that the FBI needed a warrant to do this. But the judge basically said that no, they didn't need a warrant because your computer is not private even if you're using Tor.
Yeah, he said, however, the court finds that any subjective expectation of privacy, even if one exists in this case, is not reasonable.
And the EFF says basically cops are going to use it right now. It's done.
Good God.
Yeah. This sets precedent. It's a federal judge, right?
You know what? Again, if you want to go after those people that do that stuff, I'm all for it. But at what price?
Yeah, but you're opening up for everyone. It's that whole slippery slope thing. Like, yes, we can all agree child porn is bad. You should go after them.
However,
there's that whole Fourth Amendment, reasonable expectation of privacy.
Nuri said something bad about the Clintons earlier. Let's go after him.
Right. And then, yeah, what's next? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you think about the Fourth Amendment shot anyway. Look, if you get pulled over by the cops, all they got to do is go, we suspect you of smoking marijuana, and they can go through your car.
Well, so we talked about that a while ago, the whole like new tech that they rolled out with the recognition software and the license plates that basically can like immediately tell them if you're driving, you know, if the likelihood of you driving without insurance and that kind of stuff.
The likelihood?
I don't.
Wow. Yes.
Well, because it's not accurate because there's a lag up to a month between when the insurance companies report and when the SOS rolls stuff out. So, like, that's supposed to be a secondary offense. Like, you're not supposed to be able to get pulled over for not having insurance because how would they know? But now it's one more – yeah. Again, slippery slope.
I saw you not wearing a seatbelt. Well, it was on. Well, now that I got you – I smell
weed.
Isn't that a ruling last week that basically said that cops could use things that they found even if the search the original stop was illegal. I think that was last week, that was just exactly.
That's crazy. I thought it was they couldn't be – no, no, no. I thought they couldn't be prosecuted for false statements.
Well, that happened this week actually, right?
Right.
So a Michigan State Supreme Court judge basically said that cops, if they lie even while on the stand, are basically exempt from it.
See, that – like the on the stand part I have an issue with. Like in the course of an investigation, all that kind of stuff. I mean obviously cops go undercover all the time. They have to lie. It's how that goes.
Well, the story was what? Two cops basically were accused of assaulting a Detroit motorist, and basically as part of the investigation, they said that they hadn't done it. And then a video came out saying that they had, and they were charged with obstruction of justice, and basically those charges were thrown out.
Huh. It is,
Jared's being strangely silent during this entire thing.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, it's definitely one of those things where you got to be ready to lawyer up. I hate to say it, but you got to be ready to lawyer up. And also – you know, one of the court process is so strange unless you've known somebody that's been through it or you've been through it yourself, because, you know, they'll bring you in for a deposition in 2015 and then the trial will take place in 2017.
Yep.
And then they'll ask you a question and it's like, and then they say,
oh, but in your deposition, but like, in your deposition 2 years ago, you said,
where were you on February 3rd at 12 p.m.? Like,
well, and that's why, hey.
Swift is usually not part of this process.
No, depositions, yes and no answers. That's it.
So the tough thing, you know, hopefully you have the type of representation like our former president's wife does.
Corey, you're now under investigation. I'm going to put a knit on your internet.
Well, and then
access.
The last one, Dave, is the UN just came out with on their Human Rights Council. They passed a non-binding resolution that basically says,
which like
internet,
like,
I don't even know that what
can't
ruling
we
they have.
Pass a non-binding resolution?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it right now.
Let's start doing those.
Well, let me say what it is first, and then we can pass something. So they're basically coming out and saying that internet access is a basic human right.
I would like to pass a non-binding resolution that one-star Yelp reviewers get kicked in the balls.
Yay! I'm in.
Did this pass? All right, let's vote. Officially.
Who's writing the press release?
I'm in.
Who's writing the press release?
It'll come from worst meatball sandwich ever.
No, they're not allowed to go into the next restaurant after. Like they're banned from restaurants.
There is a 30-day moratorium on restaurant visits after a one-star Yelp review.
It's like, you know... It's sort of like that Chappelle Show skit where he was talking about the UN sanctioning the U.S. It's like, I mean, the UN, what can the United Nations really do? You know?
Dude, they got peacekeepers. They're badass.
Half of them are arse.
And then another study just came out. This one's way more important. They basically said with the top cities in Michigan that watch the most porn.
So, and we've talked about the digital divide, as we call it. Apparently, a large swath of Detroit do not have internet access. So, Detroit only made number 9 on the list.
I wonder to think if we were to bring the digital divide closer, shall we say the DD closer together?
if only
we could do that.
That is so.
We could raise or maybe erect. The citizens of Detroit.
It keeps getting worse.
Can we get a couple of those for that, please?
That segment was brought to you by Comcast Internet Essentials for $9.95 a month. You can get internet in the city of Detroit.
You only have to wait
9.95 a month.
But should we start off at the bottom or start off at the top?
Yeah, like, I'll be honest. Like, I've been out here for 20 years. I have no idea where Adrian, Michigan is. Adrian.
Bottom center. Adrian's on the way to Chicago.
Yo, Adrian.
There's a racetrack out there.
There's a college. That's why.
Number 13 is Muskegon. Chicago. I know where Muskegon is just because once upon a time I had to go set up a computer system in a store out there.
Right.
Taylor Tucky is number 12. Now, see, what I think they should have done along with this list is also added the most frequently searched terms that go with this.
The genre of porno?
Exactly. Dearborn Heights.
Is 11.
Is a little interesting.
There's a few surprises.
Right down the street from me, Roseville. That's a dirty little town, though.
Where's Warren? Yeah, I was going to say there's no Warren in this whole list.
Dirty little town. Detroit, as we mentioned, was 9. Port Huron, eh.
This one, the next one's a surprise of the list.
Grand Blanc.
Great. There's nothing. There's a golf course.
Ain't nothing to do but watch porn.
Really? And a Schlotsky's. That's all that's in Grand Blanc.
It's like the girl I did from Kansas. Wasn't nothing to do but drinking.
No, do you know where Grand Blanc is?
It's like a Flint subsidiary, right?
It's like when you go to Frankenmuth, it's on the way to Frankenmuth. And it's like one of those exits.
It may or may not be where Mark Hamill lives.
Oh, that's right. He does.
Hypothetically speaking. Lincoln Park. The band, Lincoln Park?
No, the city.
Oh, gotcha. Westland.
That doesn't surprise me.
Harrison Township is
that
four.
That surprises me. That's a small ass boat town.
Is it? Oh yeah, that's yeah. I do know
that's
what that
a
is
small,
now.
Are they everyone watching porn on the boats?
On the boats. Davison. Isn't that like out there? If I'm like, isn't
that's
that
up 75?
Yeah, that way. Yeah.
Small town.
Allen Park. Apparently a lot of Lions football players watching an awful lot of porn.
And touchdown.
And Ford employees.
And Ford employees watching an awful lot of porn. And the number one city that watches the most porn in the state of Michigan, Southgate. You dirty, dirty bastards.
I don't know. World's biggest cheeseburger watch the most
getting
porn.
Getting down and downriver.
So I have found the answer to the search terms.
Oh, shit.
The most search term.
Wait, can it be like a quiz where Dave.
Okay, so this is for the state of Michigan.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
State of Michigan.
By city?
No Googling, it's just the state of Michigan. State of Michigan, what do we got here, people?
It's overall.
Like, it's like, this is like Family Feud at the end.
Overall, show me MILF.
Show me biracial.
Kim Kardashian sex tape.
Damn.
Obviously, you got not average Michiganders.
Okay.
Is it something stupid like the most Googled search word is Facebook and you're like, no. It's Pornhub? No, it's not.
Teen, lesbian.
Ding!
Oh, it's lesbian.
It is lesbian. But at least we're not Ohio. We're not looking for our stepsister.
Ooh. On that note, gross. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Dr. Hook, Billy, and Kari. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
We're listening to the IT and the D Show, the number one technology podcast on SoundCloud this week.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com. What is love?
Baby, don't. This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 2. This is episode 151, the 4th of July edition of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit.
Fourth,
beautiful.
Fifth. Man.
It's a fourth. Perception's reality.
It's the internet. No one knows.
Exactly. This is Bob, the sales guy, here with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a review on iTunes. And you can get us now on Google Play. Subscribe on Android, Stitcher. So many different ways to listen to the podcast, if you even listen. We don't think so. No, I'm just kidding. Hey,
can we just have this talk?
Yeah, mark your calendars. July 21st, Firebird Tavern. Also August 4th, podcast meetup at Activate Gaming. Check us out on the Meet page on IT and the D. That's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. And finally get those details, and we will see you there.
Happen with the Meat Stick sponsor.
It said wait, hold on a couple weeks. I'm working on it. Right. But hey, this it's actually a very cool thing that I didn't even know existed. The sponsor for this segment is brought to you by Earth Class Mail. If now, Nuri... Imagine this. You can get rid of all of your snail mail and move it all into the cloud.
What?
So it'll give you access to all your snail mail, basically.
Like all the junk mail, too?
I'm assuming everything, unless you want to tell them no.
Will they scan my Velpak?
There's.
I hope not.
Right. They moved everything to the cloud and moved your business to the digital world. There's still a need to pick up. There's no need to sort and pick up physical mail. It's gone. It's out of your life. With Earth Class Mail, you get all your mail scanned and accessible online 24/7. You can search your mail, send invoices over to your accounting software, sync important documents into cloud storage, deposit checks, and it just makes your life a whole lot easier. You get a real professional address to share publicly with customers, business partners, investors. So if you're a home-based business, or if you don't want your place of work out there in the public.
You're an IT guy who works from home.
Right, exactly. You never have to worry about someone showing up at your front door if you run that, if you're on your business or if you're from home. We've checked it out. One of the things we were concerned about was security. And the first thing we did was click security. And they're in accordance with HIPAA, which pretty much tells us everything we need to know about it. Everything, all documents are sorted, barcoded, tracked under strict security standards to ensure privacy is never compromised. They're all destroyed after they are scanned in for you. And they have and they work with – they've been authorized by the United States Postal Service to receive and store confidential documents in their secure facilities.
Well, yeah, and the interesting part about this is so it's – yeah, your mail gets scanned, goes to the cloud. But you can still – so they store them in their secure facility unless and until you either request to have them shipped to you. So if you need that physical copy for something, it's there, or have it destroyed.
Sure.
And the coolest part for me is, you know, I run a business out of my home for my voiceover work. Automatic check deposit. So they will scan through your mail and find checks and automatically electronically deposit them into your bank. That's freaking huge.
Yeah, and bills too. So it integrates with bill.com. It'll sync to your Dropbox, so you have it all sitting in your Dropbox. Here's the best part. You get 30 days of free service. Try them out, earthclassmail.com, and use offer code IT in the D, all lowercase, altogether, no spaces. That's earthclassmail.com, offer code IT in the D.
Does that mean the Jehovah's Witnesses won't know where I live now?
I don't think you're safe from them.
Ah, shit.
I do not think you're safe to them. But hey, like we said, we have three awesome guests in the studio. This is going to be a short but sweet episode for Independence Day. But we've been joined in studio by you guys have been very quiet for this whole show. But we got Jeremiah here from DailyDetroit.com. Billy Strotter from Social Coop Media, and Carly Frazier from DetroitIsDifferent.com.
Yes, yes.
So let's kick things off with Dr. Hook, Jeremiah. Daily Detroit, it's becoming a thing. Like, you started it off as – I know you put all your guts and glory behind it, and I know you put all your heart into it, but the fact to watch it become basically spoken of with all the media outlets in town is kind of an awesome thing.
Completely surprising, but yes, an amazing thing.
And you're pissing people off because apparently you're stealing all their clicks.
And you know what? I'll be Detroit's click king, which goes right with our last segment.
The click commander?
The click commander.
I own the
click. That's what they call the guy in Southgate, actually.
I'll have you know that Daily Detroit is based in the city of Detroit, so we're slightly farther down on that list.
But the cool – like recently you just got some national pub. New York fired some shots and said our pizza was garbage. And you're like, kiss my ass and here's why you suck.
Yeah,
and
it got
picked up by Adweek. It got picked up by – I'm trying to remember the other –
like Mental Flow. Like it got into the blog caterpillar, you know, where they eat one thing and then they like just keep eating it.
And become a beautiful butterfly.
Right, which equals a lot of clicks to my site. So thank you for that butterfly, Internet. but yeah, it's been a wild ride. In fact, we had the best month of 2016 actually on the Daily Detroit site. So can't complain at all. I mean it's one of those things of – you know, we need to stand up for ourselves as Detroiters, but we also need to not whine. And that's a line we've got to really start to walk, you know? We need to have pride without having to be afraid.
It seems like nobody's happy about anything. If you build a building, you're driving up rent. And it's not up to your architectural standards.
And it's not what – if you're putting stuff in a building, it's not what everybody else wanted you to put in the building.
Nobody's – yeah. And if someone's happy but someone's not. And it's
– oh, which reminds me, we forgot to mention our shameless plug, Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever, Episode 2 is out and available for listening at this point in time.
Which was our favorite breweries.
It was. The one-star Yelp reviews of our favorite breweries.
Exactly. You go to Batch Brewing and you give it a one-star review.
How can you do that?
That's what I said. That's why we make
fun
of these people.
That place is amazing.
Right.
Like, I get if you had a bad – I get it if you just didn't like the vibe and you gave it a 3, right? If it's not your thing.
No, the best part is every single one-star review said the beer was good, the beer was great, the beer was good, the beer was
– That's what it is.
Then shut up.
Batch Brewing company on the damn door.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven does a great job over there.
No, then they – complain about the service. Like, it's not Lely's. You don't have 16 Italian waiters waiting on you hand and foot. It's a brewery.
It's a brewery.
Communal seating. Yeah. You go get your own, you know, shut your mouth. Anyway. we jazz you all the time about – it's funny. Like, instead of the hard-hitting stuff, you know, top five burgers, it's kind of a running gag with you. But you write this pizza thing, and you hear you get national coverage. It's kind of hard to ignore stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and part of it is that people vote with their phones. You know what I mean? Like – there is this belief that every single serious thing out there, and it's important to cover, and we do cover serious things on occasion for sure. But it's also part of what do people want to talk about. I mean, that's just the reality. One of the things that's been hard –
when we sit around the – I don't mean to cut you out. When we sit around the – like have a beer or have a coffee in the morning at Great Lakes or whatever – we want to. We're talking. Where are we going to eat tonight? Or what's what's on the docket? We're like, explain to me that hard hitting political point of view that you spoke of last week. No, it's light.
Never, ever.
Right. Unless we're making fun of each other, but then it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
but
still, Daily Detroit,
people don't like to be, you know, once in a while, you just want to let loose and just talk about stupid stuff. No offense.
I don't take offense by it. Daily Detroit's supposed to be part of the zeitgeist. It's a blog for a reason. It's not here to, like, replace the free press, you know? The thing is, though, is that with digital media, and, I mean, maybe you can speak a little bit to this, Billy.
My name is Billy.
Hi, Billy. He's Billy. He's in the corner. Thought I'd bring him out. Highlight. Anyway, it used to be in the newspaper, there was this thought that all these things got read and everything we did, everybody cared about. But in the reality, in the digital world, when all that stuff becomes unbundled, where you don't have like the city council meeting stuck in with everything else, all of a sudden you start to get a real read on like what people actually care about and what they're actually interested in. And sometimes it is serious stuff, but it's got to be put together in a way that's interesting that people want to talk about. And that's really the center of what Daily Detroit does.
It's not 2020.
Well, no. And that's we've joked about this a million times and, you know, joking haha to cover the frustration, but it's like, you know, we post something about, okay, here is exactly where you go get a job. We post that on our Facebook page. Crickets. Nothing. The other day, post stupid happy 30th anniversary Big Trouble in Little China. Shares out the wazoo. Everyone loves it. Yeah, I love them. Yeah.
We post grants.
Fine.
We post $5,000 is available from Nike to, you know, for your nonprofit. Everyone talks about, oh, I need money for my nonprofit. Here you go. Nobody cares.
Crickets.
Like, I mean, that's the reality. You put out something about some of these great contests that are out there, grants, all these other things, job training. Because, you know, we'll cover the occasional thing, too. We'll dovetail one of your stories or see something out there. Be like, hey, here's where you can learn a bunch of free stuff. And then, nope, crickets.
Yeah.
You know? And part of the thing that changes things is that Facebook kind of like Facebook shapes what you see. It's not a clean feed, you know? And so they show you what your friends share. And that kind of gives you a distorted view of, like, what those people are, right? Because you guys post a lot of serious resources. But to the casual user, they're going to occasionally see your Star Wars meme and be like, oh, that's what they do. They make me laugh.
Right.
There's nothing serious there.
Well, that's the battle we fight all the time with clients is they're like, well, why do you not post about us every single day, three times a day? And they're like, well, what does your audience want? And that's the great thing about what you guys do is you have an understanding of what your audience wants and you post that and it performs well. And it performs well in a way that – so when you want to post something serious, at least they see it.
Yeah.
Well, it's when I started in television news, it's called the Big Tent Theory. You get something that people will be interested in to bring them into the tent. And then you give them a little bit of something serious once they're inside because that's what they can handle. And that old theory back from – the 90s or whatever.
All right, I'll sit through this stupid pitch in order to get the free condo for the weekend.
You sell the bread and milk at cost to get them in the door, and then you mark up the salami and the, you know.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, that's just how it's always been. But we, you know, there's always this kind of like self-righteousness, and it's like there's no reason to take yourself too seriously. We all make stuff that just goes on the internet. You know, it's not like War and Peace or anything. No one here is Edward R. Murrow.
No.
What?
Yeah, you just hear that one too.
So, Billy. We were all proud of you, and you didn't even tell us this was happening. We had to find it out on social media.
Are you sure that you're proud? Because I'm pretty sure you're making fun of me when I'm
Oh, we have to, though, because you didn't tell us.
But didn't he win by having us find out on social media? Because that's what he does.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because his wife posted a picture.
Right. So you want to tell the world, what is it that you – it's actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I just graduated from Leadership Detroit. It's a 9-10 month program. People from around Metro Detroit come together. It's through the Detroit Regional Chamber. And the idea is just to help us understand the history of the region and how we can go out and make a difference and make change. And
so, I mean, is that like a title? Or, I mean, what do you get to call it? Do you get to say I have this
no
program?
Title. No.
No, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's the great thing about it is that you walk away with connections with people that I normally never would have had a conversation with.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's just this fellowship of Metro Detroiters who are passionate about the city of Detroit and want to make change.
Hmm. We didn't get invited to that.
No.
Yeah, no.
They don't like us.
No. They know you too well.
So, I mean, on the social media front, I mean, it seems like Just from perception, I always watch my kids to see what they're gravitating to and what they're doing. All the kids are on Snapchat. Nobody's touching Vine anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, what's some of the trends? What's next?
Ooh, gosh. I love that question so much.
No, you don't.
Prognosticate, Billy.
Yeah. So the thing that we're seeing is, I mean, certainly Facebook still is a great traffic driver.
Sure.
And we're seeing a lot of people going to Instagram, but Snapchat's really the place to be, right? So just trying to figure out how to make that work, because you're not able to really track what you're getting out of that, really.
So there's no click through. There's no anything. It's not static.
Right.
That's the one thing that kind of boggles. I don't get it. Not saying, you know, the old man doesn't understand the social. Like, I'm part of everything.
I thought it was just about the boobies.
That's what I thought. The boobies disappear after.
I mean, but early on, that's what people were, you know, there was all of that hoopla about, oh, you know, that's just where people go to show their boobs.
I just think it's funny that, like my German friends and family and from.
But those are like
use, not WeChat, use WhatsApp, all of it. And then, like, from Asia, everyone's using WeChat. Like, it's SMS is almost dying by the vine.
Yeah, we're all just trying to figure out how to better communicate with the people that we're trying to reach. And it doesn't really matter what platform it is, but it's still making sure that we're customizing the message to whatever that platform.
We look at corporate. So go ahead.
No, no, no.
Look at corporate communication. I have email, right? We have Cisco Spark. And then
Jabber,
we have Jabber, which is the AOL client.
Link and then
you know, and it's like, we all look at it.
Like,
did you open up a Spark room? Like, well, did you, like, I know I hit you on Jabber.
Why
well,
can't I just use a WebEx? Why can't I do
it? You're right.
I'm in the office next door. Chat. Come over and
exactly, I'm right next to you, ass.
That's why the things like Quip kind of intrigue me, because I don't, it's sprawl. It's getting crazy on how many things everyone's, and no one's standardizing on anything.
We're a messaging startup. Have you heard of us?
Right.
Anyway.
No, we love Slack. Slack has changed the way that we do business.
Slack's the heart of so much. It's so good.
Right. So, you know, I mean, even
what's it replacing? Replacing email. Yeah?
It's replacing email.
Yeah.
So internally, we don't send email back and forth unless we absolutely have to. And then we also give our clients access to it so that they can quickly communicate with us, because if we're going to manage social media for a company, then there needs to be, you know, that quick access.
One of the things that we're looking at doing is actually for our members and like super fans, actually having like a Slack channel to get their feedback on stories and what we should do and that kind of stuff. And that's because you can be so flexible with it.
So
can we discuss the word super fans for just a sec?
Jer.
Do you use Snapchat, Bob?
Super secret room. I don't use it. I have it. Yeah. I have like two friends. Uh-huh. Like,
oh, wait. I'm your friend now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, because you know what I love? Seeing pictures of you with your legs on with your bare feet and on a beach. That's great.
It's sexy.
Yeah, it is. I was like, oh.
not when I got Snapchat.
Exactly. I was at Billy's feet. So, Kari, you are doing so many different things, and we you know, we are here every week doing our little film and all that, but you are working on doing is it a concert series? What exactly? I mean, because it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's like I'm still and that's the cool thing about, like, and I met Jared through you guys and seeing how that's grown in Daily Detroit. But with Detroit is different. Always trying to really mix what happens real life in Detroit and the events that I produce, and also mix that with what I can do online. You know, Detroit is different. It's just a home that I created to share messages, the stories that I thought were really cool. I'm big on context. And that's really the whole thing that it's about. So I'm glad you guys have given me a vehicle to share you guys' story. I think IT and the D, you guys are always like, you know, very open, very cool.
Well, the best part about what you're doing is it's not one specific genre. You're not following like one type, you know, you're not following just music. You're not following just business. You're following kind of like a cut up of what the city's all about.
Yeah, I was with this is so strange. And this kind of goes to the whole idea of Detroit is different. Today, one of my friends that works with Cinetopia, it's this film festival that is in Detroit. And he was like, hey, it's this group of black venture capitalists. And I'm like, black venture capitalists? That sounds strange. And then I said, they have to be.
I found a unicorn.
they have to be like based out of Nigeria somewhere or something. And they were like, well, they're from
That's
DC.
Where that scam money went.
Because that's like, I mean, Nigeria is making so much money internationally right now. So they have some investments in Nigeria. So I'm showing them and I'm leading them on this tour through Detroit. And I'm just telling them like different perspectives. And as I'm driving to, so like we went to Vegan Soul. We went to like we drove past the Russell Industrial Center. And there's so many things happening in Detroit that.
Well, you look at Harmony Park. I mean, you know how many people were celebrating that it wasn't Gilbert or Illich putting this development together.
You should hook them up on a tour with Kalman.
And there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I need to. I definitely need to hook that up because I mean, I'm just a person introducing people to like. I think that, and really, I wish I, you know, all night they could see what's happening here because this region, as much as some of the things that make it so tough, because we still do have such a racial divide here and the industrial aspect of what's happened to Detroit. It defines Detroit, but it makes it unique. It makes it different, but it makes so many stories really cool. And that's what I think really inspires the music. Because when you think about a place so small that has created some of the greatest musicians that have changed the world generation after generation, I can't think of another place other than Detroit like that.
Memphis, maybe, just for like, you know, the Elvis, Johnny Cash, but I mean, still.
But then you think about like Motown.
And of course, for walking.
You think of Motown.
In Memphis.
You think of Madonna. You think of Bob Seger. You think of even Kid Rock. You think of techno music being founded here. It's like.
Nobody thinks of techno being founded in Detroit.
Yeah,
outside, no. Outside of Detroit? No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
I would say outside of Detroit, they know it more than inside of Detroit.
Did I listen to techno? Boston, D.C., New York, nobody ever talked about Detroit.
Everybody in Chicago thinks it started in Chicago. Everyone in Detroit thinks it started in Detroit.
That's house. That's house music. But, I mean, it's some legends in music here. And that's why I love doing music events. I mean, I'm a rapper myself, so I plan to put together a series of different shows from August all the way through December. I'm going to mix some different things up on the stage. A lot of my friends that I know. And then that's the other thing. We know each other. Blues artists, country artists. I even know bluegrass people. I know classical artists. You know, if you're in the music scene of live music, it's all interconnected. Couple places, you know, if you're at Harbor House, if you're, you know, if you go to a couple of the blues festivals, if you go to, if you're open, and this if you're open to going by the Ritz or different places like that, you're going to run into a lot of these people that have been playing great players and a lot of good music, and I hope that people continue to support it.
We went to the oldest jazz club over
Bakers.
Bakers, yeah. And it was like 43 years of my life I wait, and then I go there for the first time. And it blew my mind how talented. Because I'm looking, and I'm like, who's playing bass? And I was like, I'll follow in like the instruments. And the guy was playing it with his left hand on the second piano underneath the top keyboard. I'm like, good God. I mean, and it was perfect.
We take, like, Bakers is such a phenomenal place. You know, Marvin Gaye, because Motown didn't want to release What's Going On, because at the time, Berry Gordy was like, okay, this is completely different than the, you know, sex symbol for teen girls that we have for you, Marvin Gaye. So for about 3 years, he was just performing that album at Baker's Lounge before it came out. So just sitting in.
Wow. And that place was walking distance from his house. He lived right around the corner over there on Outer Drive.
Yeah. So
apparently his house is for sale right now.
Yeah, I mean, but it's so many, and that's the one thing that that I was telling them, and somebody really brought it home, that, you know, Detroit is such a strange place of like neighborhoods being so close to like, it's like mansions, one block, and then two blocks over, it's like, okay, what in the hell happened here? And then two blocks over, it's like an apartment complex. And then two blocks over, it's like a factory. It's a unique.
See, the suburbs
city.
Is, I would always used to say, a 9-iron to the left, it's a million-dollar house. 9-iron to the right, it's a trailer park. So, yeah, suburb folk, we got our problems, too.
But it's the same. But that's the thing.
Is.
I mean, this whole region, like when you think about the layout and the design of it, I mean, it's so many cool stories to talk about. And when you really ask, one of the best things that you get to ask, as I always say, you went to Hollywood if you wanted to be a superstar. You came to Detroit if you wanted to start your family. So any Detroiter you meet, black, white, or whatever, and you ask, when did your family come here and why did your family come here? And you're going to get an amazing story.
For work. Yeah, that's when my family came here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that inspires, I think, so many of these stories. And A lot of it's missing, but that's why I started Detroit Is Different, because I definitely still respect a lot of the other publications. It's more stories that need to be told, but at the same time, I still think that is some cool things happening in and around Detroit. More opportunities are coming my way. It's a lot of things I'm looking forward to with Detroit Is Different coming in the future. But for now, even like my ticket application, and I really got to introduce you guys, GoPassage. It's a ticketing service because so many people use Eventbrite. But GoPassage is a Detroit-based ticket application.
I've heard of it. I didn't know it was Detroit based.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Detroit based, and the guy that does that, real cool guy, the way he started it up, it's like, and then it's like,
you
okay,
know,
I'll pay
we're always
you
looking for
it.
Show guests, you know that, right?
I'm just saying. I'm pushing that on you. He pays money faster than Eventbrite, pays better percentages, and he was like, hey, do you want me to set up a portal where it'll just show Detroit Is Different, even though it'll be going through Passage? I'm like, yeah, I want you to set that up. I don't feel like doing any coding. So, you know, it's like, yeah, let's do that. You know, it's so many different people in and around this city that are very talented, very skilled, looking to do things, get involved. I want Detroit Is Different to tell that story, and I think it has an amazing soundtrack. I'm going to be shooting a music video. This is the thing that you guys don't know. August 28th, you guys got to come down. I don't know how I'm going to drag everybody out. But August 28th is going to be at the Detroit City Distillery. That's definitely one of my places I'm always at in Eastern Market. The week before Labor Day, it's an advance notice. That's going to be a drinking day for you, Bob. We're barbecuing the day through. It's going to be fun.
So there's your meat sweat drunk day.
Do you need Eastern Market? Do you need a 76 Cadillac convertible on set?
We will definitely have a 76 Cadillac convertible on set.
Do you need a recently converted vegetarian who's no longer a vegetarian?
Yeah, what's up with this? Nary's eating meat. I'm drinking again. Dogs and cats.
All is right with the world.
You're back eating meat?
Yeah, totally.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, that's almost a question within itself. So did you make a jump? What have you tried since you jumped back in?
I'm taking him on his tour. He asked me where he needs to go, and I've already got a list.
So I wanted.
Well, you know, Bob has.
I had to have Slow's ribs. That was like number one on my list. Was
ribs.
Slow's ribs.
Ribs.
And that's about it. I've had some like other pieces of meat here and there that haven't been that great, but it was like Slow's was like I got to get.
We got to get
now.
Him some tailway.
What's the over under on when he'll finally break down and have a hot dog?
No, we got Lafayette's on the list.
Nah. All depends how much booze we get in him. And once you're done at DeMongo's, the hot dog's happening.
Okay.
I've never been to DeMongo's.
What?
Me neither.
You need to make that happen.
We're going to happen.
Yeah.
That you know what? After the 21st.
It's proper.
After the 21st, let's do it.
Yeah. But a lot of cool things. So many things. I was just walking through looking at the other studios here. It's definitely time for me to go on and get a show in effect here. It's been time.
So we're not bad that we're in Royal Oak and we call it Podcast Detroit because we've been told that we're dumb.
Let's put it like this.
By someone who's very, very bitter.
And that's the other thing about angry. Detroit. Detroiters are passionate about everything. So they passionately hate, passionately love.
Even the design of the new house I just bought. Very passionate. Very passionate.
Nary's new house has been uncurbed more times than he cares to mention. Everybody's got an opinion about it.
Since he bought it.
I think they've reposted it like 4 times in the last 2 weeks.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like every other day I open up my Facebook like, oh, there's Nary's house.
And there's
hey,
someone
curbs.
Bitching.
I bought
damn
that
mega
house.
Flippers.
I bought it. Stop posting it.
Speaking of shows, we did mention Billy will be here next Monday night. Firing up his own thing.
Billy, what's your podcast about?
Nothing.
Literally.
As all our shows mostly
well,
are.
Well, yeah. You know, I've got to learn from the best in the business, right? I mean,
well, let us know when you find them, and then we'll take
sure.
notes.
Yeah.
You just got to say your one show and then talk about everything but, right? We're an IT show, and we talk about, you know, literally everything.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited to finally just break out on my own. And we're going to talk a little bit about social media, about digital marketing, about the challenges of being an entrepreneur in the city of Detroit, because it's something I'm passionate about. And so we're going to see where it goes from there.
That sounds interesting. You got a subscriber.
I'll take one. Well, I have two. I've got my mom.
See, not even your wife?
Always down.
So, hey, we're going to – this is like I said, this is short but sweet. This is a 4th of July episode here. Thank you for listening on the IT The D Show. Kari, we can find you over at DetroitIsDifferent.com.
Yes, DetroitIsDifferent.com. That's where I'm at all the time.
Billy, where can we find you at? What's the new podcast called?
The Scoop.
The Scoop.
Yep.
Where else can we find you?
SocialCoopMedia.com. SocialCoopMedia on the Twitters, the Facebooks, right Snapchats. On.
The Snapchats. And Jeremiah, we got you at DailyDetroit.com. We got to get your butt back in here doing a podcast, too.
Absolutely.
You just have to. I'll just leave it at that. But hey, on behalf of, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Quip and Earth Class Mail. This is Bob, the sales guy, always with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us out online, itandthed.com. Thank you for listening. And do us all a favor, drink your drinks, get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Peace.
You're listening to the IT and the D Show, the number one technology podcast on SoundCloud this week.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, Buick put their cars next to, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, doing, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.